On today's episode of Alternate Universe, the podcast, crossovers happen, deal with it. Let's go. All right, everybody. Happy New Year for those who haven't been listening. And if you haven't been listening, then why the hell not? Not cool, people. Not cool. Just kidding. We love you over here. We're going to have another fun and kind of weird throwback topic today, because that seems to be the kick I'm on right now. But of course, we can never do these episodes alone. So all the way from Black Girls Do Stuff 2, we have Nick. Say hello to the world.
Hi, everybody.
So as I said earlier, Happy New Year to you. And we both decided that sleeping was much better than staying up to watch the ball drop. So
oh, yeah.
That's how it is, folks. If anybody has a problem with that, then just move on. Move on.
Exactly.
And to prove our oldness right now, we're going to talk about a few weird crossovers that actually happened. Probably shouldn't have, but what are you going to do? So without further ado, we're going to hop right in. And our first one was actually on TV recently. If you guys get Boomerang out there, it's basically the alternative to Cartoon Network. I know there's jokes there that can be made, but it's a thing, so it's going to happen. And it takes one franchise and a, I don't know, made-up franchise, wink, wink, and puts them together. We're talking about the short film where Scooby-Doo meets the World Wrestling Federation, or Enterprise, whatever they call themselves now, and specifically meets with John Cena. So I know before we got on, you said that you didn't realize some of these were actually real. Was this one of the ones you thought was kind of made up?
I 100% thought this was fake. I thought it was a what if. What if this happened?
As most people, yeah. So the premise is just like any Scooby-Doo movie or episode, the gang finds themselves trying to figure out what's going on and eventually saves the day because that's what they do. In this particular film, the wrestling, I guess, belt, I don't know wrestling well, so I'm going to call it a belt, gets stolen, and they have to figure out who did it. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody who actually wants to watch it, even though it's been out since like the 80s, so I don't really know where you guys are if you've been waiting to watch it. So that's basically the basis of it. So obviously, other than the crossover part, this sounds like a fairly legit Scooby-Doo episode, right?
Yeah, it does.
You know, it has all the makings of Scooby-Doo, and nothing bad on Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo's been around the block multiple times. He's done a bunch of things that I never knew a dog could do. They've been in space. They've, found creepy carnival people somewhere. I don't really know how to explain it. I feel like all these cartoons, somebody was on LSD, but that's just my opinion.
Well, maybe not LSD, but they are very clearly on something that they promote in the show. So.
The exact, well, let's touch on that at a different point. So what's weirder? The fact that they put, wrestlers in there, or the fact that somebody actually sat down and said, ooh, let's have Scooby-Doo meet the wrestling people?
I think option number two is weirder. That's like, wrestling is already fantasy enough without crossing it with a cartoon, you know?
Right.
But hey, you know, however you got to make your money, I guess.
Well, I mean, and I was going to say, I mean, it was going to happen at some point, and it's probably been done again. I mean, the other one that almost made it to the list that I was very tempted to put on was when Scooby-Doo and the gang met the band Kiss, and they gave Kiss...
I saw that one.
Oh, you saw that one, right?
Yeah.
And they gave Kiss superpowers. Like, yes. They could fly and shoot lasers out of their eyes. Like, it was...
It was very
I don't know what... So, you know, and the sad part is this is like the calmest of the weird we're gonna get into. Like, it gets worse than this. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we're gonna talk about another Scooby-Doo a little bit later, but that one makes a little more sense to me than this one.
Yeah,
only because of the time frame they were on. So I don't know. I mean, I think we'll move on to the second one. I don't know what else we can really say about it other than the fact that, you know, wrestling is popular. Scooby-Doo is popular. They have the new Scooby-Doo movie coming out this year. So yeah. I guess it was bound to happen if it hadn't have happened back in the 80s and 90s. That's
Yeah, because John Cena is like huge right now too in acting and movies. So like,
and that's the funny thing, because at that point, I don't really think he was that popular. I think he was really only popular for wrestling. Now he's popular for multiple media outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
So
for sure.
Maybe they should have waited. I don't know, but maybe he looks back at it now and goes, "Hey, that was my first introduction to TV and movies." I don't know. You know,
right.
I mean.
Right, yeah.
But hey, you got to start somewhere. If you're going to be an animated character, you're going to be an animated character in Scooby-Doo. So,
right.
all right, so moving on, and this next one is hilarious, and it still gets me to this day. I don't know if you've seen this one or if you remember this one at all. This was an actual after-school special that had basically every cartoon character out there that we grew up with. Everybody from Winnie the Pooh to Alf to Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny were all in this film. This was called the Cartoon All-Stars After School Special. So you didn't see this one, right?
No.
Okay, so basically this one portrayed a kid on drugs and why drugs are bad using cartoon characters. Because else would you see when you're on drugs than Winnie the Pooh and Alf in your bedroom?
I don't feel like that would deter me from doing drugs, seeing my favorite cartoon.
We'll get to that in a second, because that actually is that to this day still gets me as well. But so I understand, and I talked about this on another episode about, you know, PSAs and the importance of, you know, teaching kids right and wrong. From the standpoint of not seeing it yet, does that sound like the worst idea ever, using these characters to explain why drugs are bad?
Yes, because I would be like, oh my gosh, it's Bugs Bunny. This is cool.
You're like, I'm chilling with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck in my bedroom. I mean, come on, how could that be?
Exactly.
So that's why I brought this one up, because to this day, you know, I mean, if you go on YouTube, I'll ask you to go on YouTube later if you can. Check it out. It's hilarious to watch it, and it means well. The problem is these characters are too liked in general that you kind of lose the purpose of drugs, and you're kind of like, ooh, this kid going on an adventure with all these characters.
And I'm going to try drugs too.
That's not the point of what they're trying to do. So I guess the best question for this particular one is there's a better way to make an after-school special than using popular characters, right?
I mean, if they had them come on regular and nice and kind, and then he started having like a bad trip with the characters, then yes, that would have been perfect. Like,
well, there's some parts in it where like the kid sees these weird monsters, but it's not the characters, like separate things. So never do the characters actually go bad, which I thought would have been the purpose of this.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is a terrible execution. Maybe a good idea, terrible execution.
You know, it makes you think, like, what, you know, maybe we shouldn't go into that now, but it's one of those things. And, like, you know, on the other episode I was talking about, we were talking about the Winnie the Pooh, Return to Pooh Corner show with the live-action puppets. And they were, you know, talking about, you know, stranger danger and, you know, don't let people do things to you. And It was one of those things where it was like, you know, the topic is good and it's important, but the way you're going about it with like dancing animals and characters, it kind of makes the thing not look so bad, which really defeats the purpose because it is a really big problem. So
yeah.
That's great, you know, great for them to cross over all these creatures, all these characters, but you missed the point, like, badly.
For sure.
And like I said, I mean, I go check it out when we're done, and then text me later and let me know, because you're probably going to be like, what the hell did you have me look up? Like, it is, I don't know.
That sounds weird. And what's funny is, like, in this day, like, you wouldn't have, there's no way people would let their properties cross over with each other like that now.
Oh, so, well, yeah, just for the sheer, just for the business fact, like nobody right. would want you to touch your stuff. But, you know, it's, I guess it's a sign of the times. It's, right. it worked for the time being, I guess, but watching it now, I would not have any child watch that show whatsoever. Like, generally speaking, that's not the way to get people to not take drugs.
Right. I agree.
You know, and I forgot who wrote, I think it was, I don't know, NBC or whatever. If you guys want to shout out and let us know what your thinking was, let me know. I'm very happy to listen. But from what I've seen, I don't really understand what your thought process was. So, you know, yeah, okay. I'm like going, I'm having nightmares in my head now of this. So
you have to, because you've seen it. You've seen it, so you know the terror.
It's unfortunate, but fortunate at the same time. I don't know. okay, so on to number three, and we're going to head back to our best friend Scooby-Doo. But this time, it's going to be a crossover that actually makes a little more sense because of the time frame the shows were on. And apparently, Johnny Bravo meets Scooby-Doo. But if you know anything about Johnny Bravo, that was a stupid cartoon.
I love Johnny Bravo.
You like Johnny Bravo? He was like male chauvinist. He was always getting beat up by the ladies though, so that was kind of funny because he was like always getting like pounded by like random women.
Yes, I love that show so much because of that, because he was this like super machismo guy who just did not get it, and that's really how people who have his personality are. They just don't get it, like. Bro, we don't want you.
Yeah, exactly. So it only makes sense, right, that he asked the Scooby-Doo gang to find his missing aunt, because apparently that's how the episode works out. I didn't even know he had an aunt. Like, was that the weird old lady that was always in the cartoon with him? I don't know. Like,
I think so. I think that's supposed to be his aunt.
Oh, okay, because I remember some like older lady in the cartoon, but I didn't know who the hell she was. I'm like, why does this lady live with him? Like, that's just weird.
Well, like, what the probably live with her.
Yeah, well, I'm not touching that one. So as weird as this is, I had to put something on here that wasn't too outrageous. What do you think made this work, generally speaking? You know, even if you didn't see the episode, what do you think made it work well?
I mean, I think like Scooby-Doo has kind of transitioned over time, so he's always pretty relevant. Like, because there were other like celebrities and things who would come on to Scooby-Doo as an animated character.
Right.
And Johnny Bravo was pretty popular of a cartoon. Like when I was young and watching it, like I know in my school, everybody kind of knew who Johnny Bravo was. So it makes sense like to take a popular character and kind of make Scooby-Doo in a way relevant again to newer audiences who may not watch it because it does have that 70s feel, you know?
So in a way it's almost, I mean, you know, not that Scooby-Doo is ever going to disappear, but in a way it's kind of like to make sure he doesn't disappear, to make sure Scooby-Doo all, like, as you just said, always stays relevant to society more or less.
Yeah, for sure. Cause Scooby-Doo has a very specific aesthetic and the plot is pretty much the same every single time. So you bring in Johnny Bravo, which is something different, and a bunch of kids are watching Johnny Bravo. They're going to watch the crossover, you know?
Now, was it too easy because they were both on Cartoon Network, or do you think they just kind of like, how you said, not a lot of people want to give franchises out? Was it kind of like, these are both of our characters at the time, or Scooby-Doo wasn't Cartoon Network, but he was on Cartoon Network. Was it just kind of like Cartoon Network's like, well, we show Scooby-Doo all the time. Let's just pop one of our guys in there because we can, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, and I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would say the Scooby-Doo people approached whoever owned Johnny Bravo to say this would be a good idea. Mostly because, like I said, Scooby-Doo, if they never did anything new again, people are going to watch it off of nostalgia. But getting new audiences in there is what they probably, it's probably a part of their strategy too. So, you know, I would imagine that they probably approached the Johnny Bravo gang and was like, hey, this would be pretty cool for us to do.
All right. That's an interesting thought. I never thought of it that way, but I guess even the big franchises after at some point want to kind of like branch out a little bit and probably try something new, which, again, I keep saying new, but as we both pointed out, it's the same episode every time. So it's not like they've really done anything new. It's just kind of like who they put in the episode that's a new face, I guess.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if after this new Scooby-Doo movie or leading up to the new Scooby-Doo movie, there were new episodes with, like, more recent celebrities or cartoons or things like that, just because that seems to be something that Scooby-Doo has always done. It's like, let's sprinkle a little pop culture into the show, and then that way it always kind of keeps us up rather than kind of disappearing to remember Scooby-Doo, you know?
Well, it's funny you said that, because I recently, for those who are fans of Supernatural, they put themselves in an episode as well. and it was Scooby-Doo with the two of them from Supernatural basically worked together to find, you know, what was going on. So as you were talking and you were talking about putting new people in, that episode came to mind because since I think that show just shut down last year or final season or the year before, it's the same type of idea. Like, you know, Supernatural's done. Scooby-Doo is continuing. They figured, why not try to give Supernatural maybe like one last little hurrah and put, you know, and I think even the actors, Jared Galecki and what's his name, I think voice their own characters as well, just to make it that much more fun, because, you know, why not? They're already playing themselves. Why not voice themselves in a cartoon form? Okay, so that's a good way to put it. I didn't think of it from the Scooby-Doo standpoint, but I guess, I think like you said, if anything, they will probably either show old episodes or they'll do some new little mini episodes or kind of whatever to kind of bring you up to date, so that way when the new movie comes out, you'll be more probably inclined to go see it. Not to say people who like it aren't going to see it anyway, like, Scooby-Doo, right? You don't have to force somebody to watch Scooby-Doo necessarily. So that's a good point. So that's a good thought. And jumping to the next one, actually, same idea here with a different company, of course. One of my favorite movies, Rugrats Go Wild. And that crossover, obviously, was Rugrats with the Wild Thornberries. And me being an animal lover, I love Wild Thornberries because I love the fact she was talking to animals all the time. Always wonder why the hell she never got eaten by, like, lions. Like, I was like, what is going on here? Like, she's a, I don't know, 10-year-old girl, and they're, like, full of lions. Like, why are they not eating her? But that's besides the point. That's how my brain works, apparently. So... right off the bat, you know, I said Rugrats Go Wild. I heard you get happy. What was fun about this crossover to you? What made it, you know, a good movie? Or a good crossover,
so,
I should say.
Yeah. So it was two Nickelodeon properties. So people who watch Nickelodeon, even if they didn't watch one, they at least knew about the other, you know? They knew about it.
Right.
Because I didn't really watch Wild Thornberries, but my little sister loved it. And so we watched it together from two different perspectives, you know? And then, I mean, the characters, it seemed to make sense. Like, you had Tommy and Chucky and all of them, and then you had, what was her little brother's name, the really wild one?
Donnie, I believe.
Yeah, you had Donnie, and, you know, Tommy Likes Adventure, you had Eliza, and then you had the parents who are all clueless about what their kids do.
Exactly.
It just made sense for them to kind of meet, and the way that they had them meet was, like, pretty believable as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it was, they somehow, like, I think Donnie put on Chucky's clothes or something, and then they ended up having to, like, go back to find Chucky or whatever. Yeah, it was very, for Nickelodeon, for cartoon, they actually put fairly good thought into their plot lines. Like, considering this was, what, like, an hour and a half movie, they actually, you know, they made it work well.
They definitely did. I love all the Rugrats movies, so I'm like, I'll add this to the collection, even if I don't have a connection to Wild Thornberries.
There you go. So, and like we started off by saying, it was Nickelodeon franchise. Do you think that also made it obviously wildly popular, because Nickelodeon is still to this day, like, probably right below Disney as far as channels go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they have, like, when you, so, like, growing up, like, you would like Disney stuff, you like Nickelodeon stuff. but you definitely were more of a either a Nickelodeon person or a Disney person. I was like much more of a Nickelodeon person myself. To say I didn't like Disney stuff, but like if I had a choice, nine times out of 10, I was watching something on Nick, you know?
Well, it's funny because I think at least from what I remember, not counting something like PBS, which was weirdly enough a kids channel, but like educational.
Yeah.
But not counting that one, I would say the three that really struck out would be Disney first, just because of, you know, like the afternoon cartoon block with like Chip and Dale and all those ones. Mm-hmm. Nickelodeon, obviously, for Rugrats and Doug and all these guys. And then thirdly, weirdly enough, which I didn't realize how big it was Cartoon Network. Because at the time, I thought there was like maybe, you know, five major cartoons. But looking back now, like when you go on YouTube or you go online, there was like a bunch of cartoons that I guess I watched. I just don't remember them. But it was almost as popular as Nickelodeon and Disney. But difference being is that it was like weird. It was kind of off humor stuff. It wasn't necessarily always kid friendly. Whereas Nickelodeon and Disney, I'm sorry.
I said, no, it was not.
I mean, you know, watch like Courage the Cowardly Dog or Ed, Edd n Eddy. Oh, there's a lot of inappropriate jokes that should not be. But, you know, but as opposed to Disney Nickelodeon that were kid-friendly, more or less.
I would say the exception was maybe two shows on Nick that were just completely. I mean, even as an adult, it's a little bit inappropriate, but.
True. I think I know what you're thinking of, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, and other than that, like, it was just so good. And, like, I don't know, like, our age difference or anything, but, like, when I was a kid, Cartoon Network wasn't as big yet. It got bigger when I was, like, in middle school. But when I was, like, a kid, it was all Nick Jr., and then it was Nickelodeon or, like, Disney, because Disney didn't have Disney Jr. back then. So then it would be, like, Disney. So I would watch, like, My Little Pony Tales. And stuff like that on the Care Bears and stuff.
The sad thing is those are still on, but they look very different. Very different.
Completely different.
Like no. And now apparently they're human too now. Like, I don't know how that works, but.
Wait, what?
I'll explain to you later on. But yeah, let's just say My Little Pony now has like people version.
I don't like that.
it's, I don't know. But, I would say when I was young, Disney was probably the number one, followed by Nickelodeon. I think you're right. I think Cartoon Network, you know, I'll be 35 this year. So I would say probably Cartoon Network, what I remember probably was more when I was in school, you know, a little bit later. Still somehow it ended up being, you know, very popular. And then funny enough, which I talk about on my other episodes, the Pokemon anime, that also still to this day is still kicking and alive and still doing too. And that one came up probably when I was in middle school. So I started watching those as well. So a lot of these crossover stuff, a lot of these shows, they all were kind of competing. So the fact that Rugrats and them went together and made this movie probably was for just to kind of liven it up a little bit. You know, again, Rugrats is never going to die, but at some point you're like, how much can I watch this episode of Rugrats before I'm like, okay, this is extreme. You know, it's repetitive. So
yeah,
that's where I think these crossovers come into play by giving you something new. And yeah, again, these are back in the 90s, so it's been a while since we've seen them. But they show that sometimes these companies still kind of give a damn and actually do some work, as opposed to just throwing out the same stuff over and over again, which unfortunately these cartoons nowadays, that's what it is. It's like a lot of really cool drawing with very little plot line.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about one later that actually kind of works with that, but it's a different time. We'll put it that way. Okay, so moving on to our next one, number five, and this one's hilarious. This was a short-lived series for both. It was Ace Ventura and the Mask meet in the cartoon. So as we remember, back when, you know, and again, people are going to probably hate me for saying this, when Jim Carrey was good, no offense to him now, I'm not a fan of him anymore, but back when Jim Carrey had some good roles, he obviously played these two characters in separate movies, right? So he had his Ace Ventura franchise and he had the Mask. So, of course, being like every smart franchise out there, they decided to make a cartoon out of both of them. Well, what are you going to do when you have two characters that are kind of in the same universe? Let's put them together. Now, the reason why Ace Ventura joins the Mask, big shocker here, he's helping the Mask find some missing animals. Because that's what Ace Ventura does. So before anybody asks out there in the world, you know, no, he was not voiced by Jim Carrey. This was the time when, you know, lower class actors did cartoons, which, funny enough, these actors are now probably more popular than real actors, but that's for another day. So right off the bat here, this was probably a little too obvious, right? I mean, maybe it was too obvious where they shouldn't have done this. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it makes sense because they're like, oh, if one person likes Ace Ventura, they probably like the Mask. But that just seems like it would be, I guess to a kid, it's not too much. But like me thinking about it right now, it just seems like it would be too much. Way too much going on.
And, even, you know, and I I'm get probably, the, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm probably one of the few people who, like, I am a Jim Carrey fan, and I like his movies, but I'm not a huge Ace Ventura fan as it goes. So, like, cartoons tend to be even more over the top. So,
of course, yeah.
You know, that over the top with the Mask, oh, gosh.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's... You know, and again, this, you know, maybe the word weird crossover is wrong for here, but it's weird because it's like, why? Like, did you not have enough ideas to make just a general season of shows? You know, and again, this crossover is two episodes, so it wasn't like a whole long, you know, like nowadays when crossovers happen, it's like a week long or a month long. So this was only a couple episodes, obviously, but it just, and I think you hit it pretty well. If we were watching it as kids, it probably would be the greatest thing ever. Watching it now or thinking about it now, it's a little odd. Whether or not, like for me, I think it's odd because it's like two Jim Carrey characters in one movie or in one TV show. Yeah. I get it because, you know, I guess they probably thought the connection was Jim Carrey and that's the connection. But that doesn't really translate. If you don't really understand the connection, you're just like, oh, why is Ace Ventura with the Mask or vice versa?
No, I agree, because I can't see them ever really being around each other unless they had it where the Mask lost his dog.
Funny enough, that was actually one of the episodes. Ace Ventura helps the Mask find his dog.
Yeah, like that makes the only thing that makes sense because the dog was very important to Stanley Ipkiss.
See where you're going. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I can't really, especially if there were multiple episodes, I just don't see it.
So, I don't know. Maybe I was right to put this on the word list because no matter how I look at it, it's still off and wrong. Like, again, what these people were taking, I don't know. I don't want any of it. Just keep your drugs to yourself. That's my PSA for the day. No drugs. Okay, so last but not least, and this one goes a little old school. I'm just going to jump out with it. It's Tom and Jerry Meet Johnny Quest. So a little quick behind for those who haven't been around TV for a while. Tom and Jerry are the mouse and cat that chase, or I'm sorry, the cat and mouse where he chases the mouse the entire time. This is one of the times when I was talking about earlier about thin plotline that is actually okay for me because Tom and Jerry is meant to be kind of a silly cartoon. You know, you don't need a lot of thinking for that. Now, Johnny Quest, I don't know if you remember that one at all, but Johnny Quest was a young boy. I think his dad was a Indiana Jones kind of character, whatever. And basically, they went on these adventures to find, you know, different quests, basically. And that was pretty much the end. That was the point of those episodes there. And that show did pretty well. That show was on for a while. If you go on YouTube or on Amazon, you can probably find a good chunk of seasons still there. So in this particular case, Tom and Jerry are relaxing at the beach, and all of a sudden they run into Johnny Quest, his buddy, and his dog, because apparently they're all at the same beach. and they have to stop an evil cat army.
Okay.
And again, this is actually one of the ones that I don't remember the full episode, so I am with you on, like, what the hell, because I really don't remember this entire thing. Other than the fact that they're stopping a cat army, why the hell would Tom and Jerry be meeting Johnny Quest, if you had to make any guess?
I can't figure out anything. So I didn't really watch Johnny Quest, but I did love Tom and Jerry, and I know they don't talk. Like, they don't talk, so it doesn't make sense at all.
They're the silent partners in the business. They're just like pointing in different directions. Like, oh, they went that way without saying they went that way.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I guess you can say the same thing for Squiddo. No, Scooby-Doo does kind of talk. Never mind. He says words.
Right.
They're not really understandable all the time, but he says words.
Right.
So this, I think, goes back to the Johnny Bravo Scooby-Doo one. Both franchises were on original Boomerang and the old school cartoons. They were there. They were on the channel. They put them together because why not? I don't think this was a normal thing, whereas, you know, Scooby-Doo, like we said earlier, meets everybody. Mm-hmm. Tom and Jerry doesn't usually meet a lot of people. When they do, it's kind of funny, you know, sometimes. This particular one was a little off the charts because, as you said, they can't speak. Which, when you're solving a mystery, is kind of half the purpose of being able to say something and figuring things out. You know, again, I'm going to chalk this one up to strictly just making more money because you can. Other than that, I'm grasping at paper-thin straws right now.
Yeah, I can't think of a reason, because even the tone that I remember of Johnny Quest, I think I watched like maybe two episodes of my life, maybe. It's just like a completely different tone than Tom and Jerry. Like,
it's much more serious, like they're actually doing something.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense at all. Like, I don't know what was going on here, but...
Now, okay. If Scooby-Doo met Johnny Quest, I'd understand that, but apparently
and
that
even
didn't
then,
happen,
it would
so.
Be kind of weird, yeah.
Now, I just thought of something right now. The only other reason I can think of is maybe they were trying to try out a new idea and
maybe.
Be like, hey, Scooby-Doo works. Let's make other animals meet up with random characters. That, again, I know is grasping very strong, very thinly. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think they had a good reason. You know, again, if any of you are listening out there, Cartoon Network or whatever, please let us know. We will be happy to discuss. But I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows. I don't even think the people who did it know.
No, I'm pretty sure they're like, I was smoking weed. I was like, yes, you were. No, I'm just kidding. No offense to anybody who smokes weed. I was not trying to be rude, I promise. Okay, so I think we had some fun today, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you let me know that there's a whole genre of things happening in the world that I didn't even know about.
Oh, trust me, I got you down for some more good stuff. So keep your brain open for some more weird crap going on. So that's all I will say right now. But all right, so as always, before we sign off, I'm going to give you a quick shout-out. What are you guys up to this month?
So this month we are getting back into the swing of the new year. We have our anniversary month, which is next month coming up. So we'll be doing some fun stuff. We have another crossover with another pod covering Bad Boys franchise. So we have a couple irons in the fire. It's going to be
very, very cool. I will take that. As always, over here, we got some fun stuff going on. We just put up two episodes on Monday. Actually, I believe one of them was you and I. So if you guys haven't listened to that one, go check it out, because we talked about some, how did you type it? Some performance issues.
Yeah, superheroes with performance issues.
That sounds like a book that I don't want to read. and then on top of that, we talked about some PBS with another podcast that came on with me. As always, I appreciate you coming on. I believe I have you back very soon, so I will keep in touch with you there. As always, everybody out there, enjoy and stay nerdy.